name is Viva, and I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting.
Hi.
Please join me in the serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we start, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off. To protect anonymity, no photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed, except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording, and the opinions expressed here today are those of the individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps?
Yes. From your memory.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
The format of this meeting is 55-minute session and a short reading, and then I will share for 10-15 minutes, following by open sharing. Again, the topic for this special focus session is recovery from relapse. The following reading is from Voices of Recovery, July 4th, page 186. I finally understood that fighting the problem of compulsive overeating would, in this life, relieve me of it. I couldn't understand it. After maintaining a 100-pound weight loss for over a year, I relapsed and continued to relapse for the next 7 years. After every regained abstinence, I'd share in the meeting that I'd surrendered. Surrender to me meant hitting bottom, praying desperately for help, and then trying something different. A food plan, a sponsor, meetings, all external changes. Today I know that this was not surrendering. I simply did what I needed to do to recover until I was no longer so desperate. A part of me always believed that someday I'll be able to eat normally. I still fought my food problem and other things in my life. Since I stopped fighting my higher power's will one day at a time, I've not relapsed. My life has become more than manageable. It has become more fulfilling than I've ever imagined. Someone once told me, life before surrender is a boxing match. After abstinence, it's surfing. Today, I'm gratefully and joyfully surfing.
Okay. Do we have a timer? Yes. Just 5, 5, and 5. Okay. So, again, my name is Ziva, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Ziva.
And I'm very, very grateful and honored to qualify to lead this meeting because for almost 20 years I was in and out of relapse, and I would come to these meetings in conventions, in conferences, at the birthday party, and I would hear really wonderful speakers, and then I would leave the meeting and binge and celebrate your recovery. And I was unable to get it. I was unable to get it. And in December, I celebrated 7 years of abstinence by the grace of God. Yes. And I want to share with you what it was like, why I think I couldn't get out of relapse, and what happened to change it, and what does recovery look like today. So I'll briefly tell you that I was born in Israel and to a family where there was a lot of anxiety and dysfunction. And we won't waste time going into it because each of us has our own little fairy tale. So I basically learned at a very early age, I think as early as age 2, that food was an amazing tool to regulate my anxiety. And it wasn't really only anxiety, it was to regulate any emotion that was above a certain threshold. So like what I said first, I could leave a meeting and feel elated in the past and binge because the elation was too high. I couldn't tolerate any feeling that was too high, and I needed to bring it to like a numb place. Now, I do believe that until my teenage years, I ate in a way that saved my life. And once I passed that stage, I crossed from using food to abusing food. And that started a pattern. I never had the yo-yo syndrome, you know, of losing and gaining. I had the syndrome of binging and recovering. My binges were so full of self-hate, aggression and destruction, that my recovery, I needed to recover physically before I could do it again. And by the grace of God, I wasn't 500 pounds. My top weight was 235, but I didn't weigh myself in many, many, many years. All I know that my top size was size 24, and now I'm 16. And I would like to go to 14 if I can, but if it happens, it's good, and if not, I wake up every morning and I thank God for my body and how it served me for the last 64 years. So, As I said, I abused food in that way, and I married in my late 20s into a very dysfunctional marriage with a man that constantly berated me about my weight, and only later on I found out that he was gay and I could never look like a thin boy. I will tell you now, so there will be no surprises later, that I found out later that I'm gay too. But that's not going to happen to you if you become abstinent. So I just wanted to clear it out of the way. But when I found out about him, I had no idea about me. But basically, no matter how thin I was even size 6 at one point, he always said, if you lose like 5 more pounds, you'll really look good. And I could never do it right. In program, I tried very, very, very restrictive way of working the program. I don't know, some of you might have heard about how. And if how works for anyone in this room, God bless you. I have no judgment. But for me, it was a very restrictive, punitive way of working the program. And the thing is that my disease, in the core of my disease, there is anger, self-hate, and aggression. So my recovery has to be about kindness, self-love. If I don't, I will continue to eat. And that's really, if I think about why was I in relapse for so many years, I think, number one, I was not honest about what triggers me or willing to give it up. Number two, I pushed away God because I had a really hard time with the spiritual part of the program. And number three, I wasn't willing to sit through pain and discomfort
or joy and excitement. So this is really, in a nutshell, why I was in relapse for so many years. Five. My mother survived the Holocaust, and her entire family perished. So I grew up hearing there is no God. And if there was God, those things wouldn't have happened. So when I came into program and people talked about God, I just had to shut that one off. And what helped me shift it, which is an outside thing, but I'll share it because it's my experience, I read a book written by a rabbi that his child died from a terminal disease. And the rabbi said, you know, my whole belief was challenged by this thing. How could God have done it to me? And he said, and I realized that when it happened, God cried. So I understood suddenly that when bad things happen, God cries. God is not responsible for bad things. God is giving us the courage and strength to go through them, but it's not that there is this universal external power that does bad things to us. And that really helped me open the door of willingness to believe that there is a power greater than me. And I must say that in all those years that I've been in program in Israel, in New York, I lived in Massachusetts for 4 years, and then here, I heard wonderful speakers, and I met people with a long recovery, and there was only one thing they had in common. There were men, women, different lifestyles, different religion, different everything. There is only one thing that those people who had what I want had, and it was that they were on a spiritual path. In this program, I know people out of these rooms that are successful, and they don't have a spiritual malady, so they don't need a God. But the people in these rooms who have what I want, and what I want changed from being 25 to being 60 or 50 or 40. So the people who have what I want today are people who are in a healthy relationship with people in their lives, with their body, and with food. And those people have or were on a spiritual path. So what shifted for me into recovery is that I opened the door of willingness to start building some kind of relationship with a power greater than myself. Now, as a result of doing that, I was able now to pray to that God to give me the strength to go through whatever was going through, and I was able now to sit more through discomfort and through excitement. And the other thing is, because of my upbringing, I tend to catastrophize a lot. And what I mean by saying catastrophizing, you know, my son will sneeze and I would see already the hospice. Or I would, no, it's not, I mean, it's very intrusive, and it's very intrusive disorder. Now, it sounds funny the way I said it, but it's really intrusive and very, very disturbing. I would walk down the street and I would have a vision of this big truck running over me, and I'm thinking, do I have an ID? Will they find me? And it's nonstop. Now, what helps me with this tendency is two things. One is meditation, because when I meditate, I'm in the moment. And in the moment, nothing is wrong. In the moment, when I sit and I meditate very little, just 5 minutes a day, but I've done it for 7 years, and maybe I do some days 3 minutes, but I cannot leave my bedroom into the apartment without first meditating. And the meditation helps me stay in the moment, breathe, and get and, in, you know, take in the feeling that everything is okay for now. None of us know what will happen tomorrow, and the health of our loved one is not in our hands. And whenever something happens or doesn't happen, I'll pray for the courage to walk through it. But when I meditate, it takes me away from that feeling. Or if I walk down the street and these thoughts come, I visualize like a red stop sign, and that stops me, and then I breathe. And when I breathe, I realize I'm healthy, I'm just crossing the street from work to get my lunch, everything is fine.
But it's still, the catastrophizing is still something that is disturbing and upsetting to me, and I have been working with my sponsor, The Steps, now again. We are doing it this time from a book, and that came up for me. Under character defects, it was, you know, getting help with catastrophizing. Now, I want to, another thing that, you know, meditation, the reason, okay, so when I abstain, and my abstinence is what I've done for 7 years perfectly, is that I haven't had any dessert. That's really my abstinence. Now, a year ago, I added health bars, and 6 months ago, I added chips, and I'm praying that for the willingness to add a few more items that are out there calling my name. So, and again, you know, it's about being honest with what triggers me or what doesn't. Like if I'm in a cocktail party and they serve cheese and crackers, I can't have the crackers. But if I have, you know, a snack that is tuna with three crackers and it comes pre-packed and it has a beginning and an end, it's not like a tray, it doesn't trigger me. So it's about learning, being aware, you know, of those things. And I think that meditation, even though it's so, I do it so little, develops that ability of observing. You know, when you meditate, you observe your thoughts and you don't engage in them. And when I am meditating, then I'm able to observe my behavior and be honest. And I'm not perfect, and there are many times that I make choices that are poor, and there are many times that, you know, I regret what I ate. However, my bottom line abstinence is no dessert, and that's what I've done perfectly for 7 years. Now, I must say that that same muscle, pause muscle, that helps me not eat dessert for those years and helps me stop those very catastrophizing thoughts that are very intrusive to me, that same pause button is affecting me in other areas of my life. Whether it is when I talk to my partner and I want to say something and I have now a pause button that I can pause and think, you know, and ask myself the three questions. Is it necessary what you're going to say? Is it necessary right now? And is it kind? And if the answer to those three questions is yes, then I can say it. Now, sometimes I have a problem with the style in which I say things, and that's because I'm Israeli. That's my, my waiver. But I must say that this pause is really, I see how that muscle is worked in different areas of my life. I supervise people at work, and many times before supervision, I reach out and I say, God, make me a channel of love. It takes 2 seconds, what I just said. But I say it every time before somebody walks into my office. And then I start the supervision, and sometimes I want to say things that are criticism, because when you supervise, sometimes there is room for that. But I always have a hard time saying things because I want you to like me. So now I can stop and think about how do I want to say it? Or how can I give the message across without being controlling or without being mean or without, but it's the same pause button that is helping me not eat dessert. That same pause button is used in relationships, with my thoughts and with my actions. And the last thing I would say about God is that I reach out now to that power that is greater than myself all day long. Now, sometimes reaching out takes 2 seconds, like what I just did. And sometimes I would sit and say the first few steps or pray or whatever. You know, it looks different in different times, but it's a constant connection that I have. And sometimes I feel like that power is external, and sometimes I feel this power is inside of me, and I'm just praying to the side in me that gives, you know, that can help me. One last thing, service. When I became abstinent after 7 years, after 7 years ago, after 20 years in relapse, I knew that unless I immerse myself in the program, I will not be able to sustain it. And what I did the first year, I was the secretary of 5 phone meetings. Phone meetings. 9 o'clock at night, in my bed, clothing optional, and I was on the phone 4 nights a week. That was the hardest time of the day for me, was nighttime. So for a year, I was the secretary, and what it meant is I had to get online on the phone at 9 p.m. and just facilitate the meeting. People shared, and sometimes I got speakers, but this saved my first year. Because I couldn't get to as many meetings as I wanted. I went to only 1 or 2 a week. I still go to 1 or 2 a week. But that was a service position that worked within what I could do and saved my life. And even to this day, you know, when I remember... That's it, right? Okay, so you heard the gist of it. Thank you for being here. Whoever will get up to share, please, you'll have to sign a media release because they are recording the meeting. So thank you. The meeting is now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic recovery from relapse and limit your share to 3 minutes. And I guess Roberta will, the phone will give you a mark. And when you share, please hold the mic, he told me, like this, because that's the way they can hear it best when they record it. Diane. You know what? We'll do it round robin. Whoever comes will pick the next person.
Okay. So I don't need to. Hi, my name's Diane. I'm a very grateful member of OA and a compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic. I have been abstinent since 1987, and I have not had a relapse, but what I found so inspiring about your lead was how not to have a relapse, because you talked about all the things you did, and before I came in program, I had issues at night, and I know there are phone meetings, and if you're new or from out of town, we have great meetings in LA, and there are, from anywhere in the world, you can access phone meetings, you can access the podcasts, you can get all the recovery in all the different areas. And I was so moved by your share and by the steps you took and by talking about what drove your eating, the self-hate and the aggression, that I just wanted to say how much I love you and how wonderful it was to hear you, and welcome to especially anybody who's new. Thank you.
I am Sue, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sue.
And I'm hoping to learn from other people, but I figure in the meantime I'll share as well. I have been with OA about 5.5 years, 5 years and 4 or 5 months, off sugar just about that amount of time. But I relapsed on other foods. And my sponsor and I had a talk, and she's like, I'm not sure it's really a relapse. I'm like, no, you eat a whole box of cereal at night. You can't say you're abstinent. I mean, it just, I was definitely relapsing. What I wanted to share that helped was, my sponsor had me write, what I expect of a sponsee, basically, and then, sort of respond to that. And so what I wrote out was a very loving thing in terms of what would I expect under an ideal circumstances? What would I expect a sponsee to do? Well, I expect a sponsee to go to 2 or 3 meetings a week. I can't do 3, so I would expect 2 and then maybe take an hour to do some book reading or whatever. You know, I would expect a sponsee to be honest and to, I don't tend to lie, but I do tend to omit. So the days where I was having trouble with my food would be the days that I tended not to call in my food, or that I tended to call in but not tell about the changes that happened yesterday, that kind of thing. I wrote down that I expect my sponsee to do service. I expect my sponsee to work the program. I expect my sponsee to do this sort of thing. And then at the end, we ended up sort of signing it as like a contract. What worked really well is my because those expectations came from myself, I didn't think that they were unreasonable or too much to ask, you know, because I wrote them. So there was because I can get into a rebellion thing. If I feel like someone's trying to control me, it's like, I want to be two and I want to not do it. But since I wrote those out myself, that helped a lot. And it gave me a level of seriousness and commitment to continuing my recovery that I didn't have. And it also marked a new beginning in terms of once I signed that, one of the things I had struggled with is I stay up too late, I get up too late, and then I'm supposed to call my sponsor in the morning. So I was lots of times like, sorry, overslept, I'll text you later, you know. And then I figured, well, I never texted the food in to begin with, so if I'm changing, no one really knows, you know. And that didn't work very well. So my commitment to calling in food, I've maintained that, not perfectly, but much, much better. And this whole writing in terms of expectations helped a lot. So, thanks.
Hi, my name is Carol, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I can't tell you how many conventions and birthday parties I've been to and never speak. But Siva has twisted my arm a little bit with a stare. And I think it's good for me to do something different because I really am growing and changing. I've been in relapse many, many years, been around all the way in and out for almost 40 years. I lost 100 pounds twice and gained it back. Last time I only gained 50, so still fighting with that 50. But this time, Ziva is sponsoring me. Maybe I should say that or not, but she has such a gentle, kind way of saying it's okay. It's okay. You're doing okay. Keep doing what you're doing. Constant caring about what I do and how I am each day is just amazing to me. I never, in all the years I'm in OA, bookended food, giving food away, just through the holidays, just to keep me going. I just started this new abstinence before Thanksgiving of all times in my life. I would never, ever think that I would be abstinent through the holidays and start a new abstinence before the holidays. It's like unfathomable to me, but it's working. The program is the program. The harshness is me. I'm harsh on myself. There's a gentle, loving God in my life today. I used to have one that I thought beat me up, but that's not the truth. And I'm very grateful to be here. I have a lot of angels around me, a lot of people God sent to me to keep me on a good path. Thank you.
I'm Karen. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi.
I don't have a clue what I'm going to say, but I'm up here. Lots of things were going through my mind what to say. I'm so grateful that I came to this meeting. A lot of the people that I came with were attending a different one because one of our cohorts was speaking, and I'm like, I need this meeting. And I'm so grateful that I came here, you know, to do what I need. And your share was incredible. I mean, it was just what I needed to hear. You know, you have so many great points. The spirituality part of the program, I know, is what I need. The surrendering part. I've been in program for 4 years, maybe four and a half. And maybe I've just been white-knuckling it the whole time. I don't know. I mean, I've had stints of abstaining, and they've been wonderful. But my problem is I'm a cross addict, so I've got other addictions that I've turned to, you know, food being my drug of choice. But whenever I would abstain from food, I would use, you know, pills or cigarettes. So I started a separate program 2.5 months ago to stop the pills and, you know, I'm really working on the cigarettes. But the whole thing is I want to feel, you know, I want to be able to sit through those emotions like you talked about. And that's tough. You know, it's tough when you've been using other substances for so many years to avoid those feelings. And I loved what you shared about, you know, wanting to stay on that even keel. You know, whenever you're up here or you're down here, you need to eat to get back here. You know, so that was great. Anyway, I'm grateful for OA. I mean, it's, you know, my head is in such a different place from when I first joined 4 years ago. I know this is where I need to be, but I don't want to relapse anymore. I want to have the freedom of abstinence. So I'm glad I'm in this room. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Roberta, grateful recovered compulsive overeater.
Hi, Roberta.
Ziva, I relate 100%. It's like my story. I've been in program a long time. I was very successful when I came in. I lost my 100 pounds, and then for 22 years, I had some recovery and some relapse, and I gained back 50 pounds, and I think at that first time, you know, I was willing to say that my life was unmanageable. Physically, you know, I followed the food plan. Emotionally, I worked through the steps. Never had a loving God in my life, and that was missing because it is a spiritual malady. So for all those 22 years with days of recovery or months of recovery, it was just always back into the food because the food was still doing something for me. And I finally, in 2002, had to surrender and realized I needed to embrace a personal God in my life, to have a higher power, to get the spiritual surrender. And since 2002, my life has totally turned around. I was able to lose the weight. My food plan has become much more flexible and loving. I no longer take that whip and that punishment. You know, oh, now you screwed up, so back to day one. I will never start on day one again. I just keep moving forward. My beautiful sponsor says, fail forward. And that's what I love to do. I just keep moving forward. So I have a flexible food plan. Nothing is off limits. My definition of abstinence is to just eat with dignity and grace, to be loving and kind to myself, and do the best I can one day at a time. I relate totally to the need to being honest. I've got to be honest with the foods. If there's a food that's going to be bothering me, and right now I'm working on something that I've held on for years, I really have to pause and keep thinking, what's it doing to me? What's it doing for me? You know, it's keeping me calm, and I like that soothing before I go to sleep, but it's not really letting me live in the penthouse where I want to live. And so that's what helps me with this recovery. You know, I keep moving forward. I keep accepting myself as I am and treating myself with love and kindness and getting out of myself and helping others. It's a beautiful program. you know, I think relapse is just inevitable for most of us. You know, I like to push the envelope as far as I can. So I'm grateful to be in recovery today.
Good morning. I'm a grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous, and I have nothing to share. I don't think I have anything that I can give because I'm kind of stuck in relapse, and I'd love to visit with any of you. Thank you so much for what you shared. I started OA in the late 60s and been in and out as far as weight goes. I've just kind of dropped 10 or 15 pounds and then just kind of hovered there. And this is the first birthday party I've come to in a long, 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 long time. And I've just started to come back. I chose to accept the drama in OA in the late, in the early, late 60s and 70s. And I have nothing against Gray Sheet. This is if you're on Gray Sheet, that's great. But for me, I love the drama of learning how to eat out of garbage cans and frozen food. And then I felt I was really sick and really accepted. I love the drama. I never did that before. And I chose to pick up a lot of negative things in the program. I want to talk about where I am today. One of the things that really stuck out for me is that you didn't do this alone. I'm trying to do this alone. I don't need more obligations in my life, having to call people and having to do this and having to do that. And I see it as, oh God, because I've been through whips and chains and everything in the history of OA. And I chose that. I don't know about loving kindness and that, but I've got to get out of doing this by myself. I need to reach out. And when you were talking about the phone meetings, I listen every night to podcasts. I listen to the success of people, the success. But I don't want to call in and I don't want to get a sponsor because that's another obligation. And then the last piece to this is, folks, I'm 70 years old. It's too late. It's too late. I should have been a contender. I should have been, you know, if only I got it in the 60s and if only I got it. And the thing is, I've been successful in my life. You know, I've made it. I've got friends. I got family. I got people. You know, I just became a mother at 69, the first time in my life, you know, to an adult I legally adopted. And so I got all kinds of good things in my life, but I'm doing this alone. And I'm struggling with what's the food plan going to be? Am I addicted to? Am I not? It's just food in general. And I really listen to you. But it's time to just stop the listen and step into some kind of action. But I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid. I've got maybe 15, 20 years ahead of me. Well, my mother's in the 90s, so maybe I have longer than that. And who am I to say how long I've got, you know? So I just wanted to say that's who I am. I don't want to put my name on this tape, but come see me later. I'd love to meet you, and thank you again for your share.
I wish I had heard your share, but so far the two shares I've heard are really good. I'm Louise, compulsive eater. You know, I share something of your story. I came in, I worked so hard, I lost weight, I was flying, the pink cloud, I was so happy and joyous that I was here. And then lately I've gained 10, 15 pounds now. And after 6 years of abstaining from desserts and chips and bread, and now I thought, you know, I just can't do this. It's too restrictive. I want to be free, and I'm just going to eat slow. That's my new abstinence. It's like, and so I really want to talk to you later because I feel like I have all the, you know, you should do this, and I'm trying to control it. And my fellow, I was talking this morning, and she said, just forget all this. Just be loving to yourself. You know, I mean, I'm trying to control it. I'm trying to control it, and I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I cannot find a higher power. So I'm like in Never Never Land, but I keep coming back. I'm going to meetings. I have a great sponsor, but somehow I'm still not willing to, you know, completely surrender. And I guess I don't want to. Maybe that's the honesty. I'm not there yet. You know, it's like you could say, oh, I should be doing this. Oh, I should do this. Is that honest? Obviously, I'm not. So I don't know. You know, it's just hard to know what's real, it seems. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Eater. Hi, this is my first OA birthday too. I've never done this before. Thank you so much for your share, and all the shares have been really great. I've been in OA since college. I started when I was 20. I'm going to be 55. I feel like OA was built for me because I'm as old as this program. I should have just started when I was born. I always tell people, my brother would say like, oh, you know what Teresa ate? What was for dinner, because it was always on my shirt. Because I think when I was 2 and 3, I was just like, rah, 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 rah. You know, it was just on me. But anyway, the thing that I want to say for me with relapse in OA is I'm embarrassed to say, and that's probably half of it, is that I'm so embarrassed to be in OA. I've always, when I was 20, I consider it kind of like a secret society, and only you guys know I'm in here, but none of my friends, like, I am so embarrassed that I'm in it. I'm so embarrassed. I'm in medicine, and Maslow's, like, hierarchy of needs is, the first thing is food, and I'm like, I'm 54 years old, and food is still, like, my biggest need. Like, what the, Teresa, there's more in life, you know. But it's my deal, and so I would come in here and do it really, like, you know, like, hang on, white knuckle it for, lose my weight, and because I always thought that if I got thin, my problems would be solved, of course. So I would get thin, and my problems weren't solved, and I'd be like, you know, away, I hate you, and I would leave. And I came back, I would get in, you know, critical times in my life and come back in, like almost every 7 or 8 years I'd come back in, get a little bit, and then be so embarrassed that I'm in it and not tell anybody and not really accept the whole thing, that I would total self-criticism, how you talked about aggression, like self-aggression and self-critical. Well, I'm very critical of all you guys too. And once I would like get my shit together, I don't know if they can say this on tape, and then I would leave. I was like, oh, you guys don't, you know, I don't need it anymore. This time around, I've been in it for 8 months. As soon as I came in, thank God, there was a God workshop, and we got to change our God in it. And I used to always do like gray sheet how and be really strict and mean to myself. And this time it's like, I don't have the skinniest sponsor. I always pick this, like the hardcore sponsor. I'm not doing, like, fine. Like, and I think it's because I'm older. I'm too tired to fight this like I used to or something. And I'm just trying to do this a lot easier. And I don't have this, and my absence is a lot mellower, super mellow. I pretty much can eat anything. I call it an unconscious eater. Like at work, there's always crap around, and I just pick it up and eat it. And by the end of the day, I've eaten a ton. So conscious eating, loving God, accepting this program, I'm trying to do this a lot easier with myself. So thank you for letting me share.
My name is Leslie, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Leslie.
And I apologize for missing your share, for getting here late, but we drove up from San Diego, and I'm very grateful to be here, and I'm grateful all of you are here. I'm in my 10th year in program, and I'm on my second recovery from a second relapse. I'm a true 100-pounder, so my relapses are always 150 pounds, and they last for a couple of years. And I don't think that's any worse than anybody's relapse that is 20 pounds, because everybody's hell is their own version, and nobody's is worse than anybody else's. But I know that's what's helping me this time to recover again is absolutely working the steps. I did a year-long step study to just, you know, get down to the causes and conditions and understand what I have to do to live in the solution, and it's been really helpful. I also find, I guess I could qualify a little bit too, in program for 10 years, the longest back-to-back abstinence I ever had was 3 years, and during that time I lost 215 pounds, but this abstinence right now is 14 months, and I'm down 45, but bottom line is I still weigh 120 pounds less than I did when I walked in the door, and so that's better. That's absolutely better than it was when I came in. But what I find is really helping me this time for my recovery from this relapse is really working with sponsees, because they show me every day who I am and who I could easily be again, you know. And I, too, am very critical of myself, and it's always a moral issue with me. And I know it's not logically, but in my heart that's what I feel. And so when I hear them go through the same struggles that I did, and maybe I'm doing too, I would never once criticize them. I would never once say a mean word to them. So why should I do that to myself? So working with my sponsees helps me. You know, I heard just last night in a meeting that a sponsee's job is to keep the sponsor abstinent, and I kind of like that idea. And I had another thought I wanted to share, and of course I've just forgotten what it was. But I am very grateful for the abstinence this time. And, you know, I'm also an atheist. And what I settled on a long time ago was I'm never going to solve the mysteries of the universe, but I don't have to. You know, I let my conscience be my guide. And if I have some blind faith, then that conscience can be empowered to live a life that's much better for me, and I can eat like a lady. And if I do that, I'm going to be much better off than I was when I came in. So thank you for letting me share today. Happy birthday, everybody.
I'm Lori, recovering compulsive overeater, and what I want to say is that I've been around these rooms for like 30 plus years, and I think, okay, I have not had in my mind what is perfect abstinence, and I've had relapse, and I've been in big time denial where I'm not a compulsive overeater. I don't know why I ever chose to say I was. I mean, you know, I've run the gamut, and I shared in the meeting before this, you know, denial for me can be, you know, really strong, and I'll try all those outside ways to lose weight, gyms, diets, you know, becoming vegan, eating raw, and not that those can be healthy ways to eat. It's just that I'll say, okay, that's my problem, you know, and instead of, wait a minute, I'm a compulsive overeater and I need a spiritual solution, because I'm in other 12-step programs and they work. They might be a little bit more defined of what, you know, sobriety is. It's like you put the plug in the jug. And, of course, you know, this has been talked about for years, you know, we're in this disease, we have to, you know, face the line three times a day or whatever you want to define, you know, what your eating problem is. For me, though, I realized that at this point, abstinence has to be somewhat, God's got to be in the picture. you know? Because if I really believe that it's a spiritual disease, then I need a spiritual solution, and it can't all come from my brain. Because, you know, I can't fix a broken mind with a broken mind, so to speak. But I can talk to somebody else and work with them on helping me define what, you know, my abstinence is, which, you know, since about the first of the year, it's really kind of what I'm being led by my higher power. And I just, the obsession to eat compulsively has been lifted. So, but, you know, I really feel, though, that working the steps and continuing to come to meetings and not getting back into that denial that I don't have this problem, you know, because that's what usually chases me out of this room is like, oh, you guys all have problems that you need to deal with. And, you know, somehow I'm above that or I don't even want to go there. So, you know, I get into the denial. But anyway, thanks for your share and thanks for letting me share.
We have time for one more share.
I'm Pam and I'm a compulsive overeater. And yeah, I've been in program for over 30 plus years. I've never left. That's my one thing. I've never left. I've had one period where I had, you know, I didn't hear you, and I'm really sorry. I'm going to buy the tape, you know. Everyone says you were great, so. I've had periods. I had one time of 16 years of abstinence. And then, you know, I've had a lot of relapses. Right now I currently have probably about a year and a half of abstinence. And I still have weight to lose. I'm still up 30 pounds from where I want to be. But for me, I just have to keep, you know, the more for me relapses, it's that thought, I don't know, you could have started the thought of, oh, I got a diet, I'm going to the birthday party, I've got to look good, you know. So what can I wear that's going to make me look the thinnest? You know, all this kind of crap that goes on in my head. And that's the crap that leads me into the disease. And the stuff that doesn't is to just be, I really work on trying to be present in my life and to be grateful for what I have and what I don't have too. So I'm really grateful for the birthday party. I don't know how many times I've come to it, but it's been a long time. And thanks.
Good morning. My name is Pete, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
And the reason I wanted to come up here really is to express gratitude. I've been in OA for about 30 years. I'm not even sure, but right around there. And came in because my daughter was in college, and she was in a psych class. So she said to me one day, Dad, you know, because I'd struggled with my eating and was on Optifast a number of times, which is a great way to lose weight, by the way. And she said, you know, we just finished a course in our psych class in deviant behaviors. And said, you know, you might want to check this OA thing out. So I went to a meeting, and not unlike this meeting, because it was not so much now, it's predominantly women here, but there are certain meetings I go to with more men. And it was all young women, a lot of anorexics, bulimics, which I had never had any contact with. And I came in my button-down suit and was, you know, cool and didn't relate to anybody and didn't think I related to anything that got said. And what I discovered was that I wanted to go back because I wasn't quite sure what happened. But and that was how it started. And I've had, I would say I've had 30 years of recovery. I certainly have not had 30 years of abstinence. And my weight has fluctuated. But I'm a big believer in the 12 steps. I have two sons that are addicts. One is like a different human being because of his 8 years in AA. And I see how he lives his life, and he really lives it clean and sober. And this stuff works. I'm married 51 years. I've been in a business partnership for, I don't know, 46 or 47 years. I have three adult children, three grandchildren, and I really have a good life. I do a 10th step every day, send it to my sponsor. And I do, part of that is a grateful list. And I have a lot to be grateful for. And that doesn't mean it's perfect, but what it means is that I know there's a solution, and the solution's here, or in any of the 12-step programs. And I'm really grateful, and I missed most of your share, but thank you very, very much.
It is now time to close this session. I would like to thank those of you who gave service and all of you for attending. After a moment of silence, please join hands as we close with the OA promise, I put my hand in yours. I put my hand in yours, and together we can do, never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out in strength greater than ours. As we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. Works if you work it, worth it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, I'm on to that. You're free. Oh, no. Yeah, she said, I'm from Israel. I said, yeah, I'm from Israel too. And when she spoke about her background, I said, well, I understand.